I think all of us, at one point in our life or another, maybe during the time when we were young or just a little kid, that we have said something that's very stupid or very wrong, and we needed someone, maybe like an adult or a parent, to correct us. So I remember when I was little, actually I was in Hong Kong at that time. I think I was playing like at a park on a playground with my mom, and I saw a policeman walk by. Now, policeman in Cantonese is called like "geng cha." I know in Mandarin it's "jing cha." And the word in Cantonese for criminal or like crook is "ta lo." Now, I don't know the Mandarin equivalent of that, but policeman "geng cha" and crook or criminal "ta lo" sounds a little bit similar, and you can mix them up, right? So here I am as a little kid playing on a playground, and a policeman walks by, and then I was in Cantonese. I told my mom, "Mom, look, there's a tat lo, a tat lo." So I was, in a sense, I was calling this policeman a crook or a criminal. So we know, like, something like that, like my mom was like, "Shh, be quiet, that's a policeman." So little kids, like when they say something like that, like they have to be corrected. There's a right and there's a wrong way to talk, to say things, to address people. And I think we know that that's true. Like for example, like you as a child, you wouldn't address adults like by necessarily their first name. Like you would call them like Ai or Shushu, right? Or you would need to you have to say thank you when someone gives you something, right? You have to learn to be polite. So no, there's a right and there's a wrong way to speak, to talk. And I think at the same time, it's the same thing with prayer. Prayer is communication, right? You're talking with God. And the Bible also talks about how there's a right way compared with the wrong way to pray. Now, as we see in the Bible, like we may find that it may not necessarily be physically like what we do in prayer, although it might help, but there's more of a focus on our hearts and our attitude when we pray. So that's why in our sermon series right now, last week we started a sermon series on prayer. So for this message and for next week, there's going to be two parts, we're going to be addressing the question of how should I pray? What does the Bible say about prayer on how I should do it? What's the right and what's the wrong way to pray? So this is what we'll be focusing on for today. So if you have your Bibles, could you please take them out, and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Verse 5, and Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 7. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come before you on this Sunday to worship you, to praise you, and to learn more about you, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we approach this passage right now, that you would teach us. Open our eyes and our hearts, Lord. Teach us how we should pray. We know that prayer is an important part of our life, an important part of building our relationship with you. And we desire to know how to do so in the right way, in a way that honors and glorifies you. So, Father, we thank you for this time, and we lift these things in your Son's name. Amen. Now, before we actually get into addressing how should I pray, I think this passage makes a very important point first that I would like to point out. So read the first couple of words in verse 5. Notice that Jesus says, "And when you pray." Now, just to give a little bit of context first. This passage comes from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching. Back at the latter part of chapter 5, we see Jesus correcting some misinterpretation or misunderstandings about some of the Old Testament laws. As we can see, like about anger, about divorce, oaths, loving your enemies. But right here, when we get to chapter 6, Jesus is correcting about conducts concerning about righteousness. And we know that Jesus focuses more on the hearts for these conducts. So we're here in focus, we have giving to the needy, prayer, and then fasting. So back to verse 5. Jesus says, "And when you pray." Okay, now take a look at verse 2. What does that say? "Thus, when you give to the needy." And then let's go over to verse 16. "And when you fast." So Jesus uses the word "when." He didn't say "if." He didn't say "if you pray." He uses "when." So our first point here, Jesus expects us to pray. Now why? Well, as we said, prayer is communication. It is talking with God. And that is important to building our relationship with Him. So if Jesus expects us to pray, especially if we already have a relationship with Him, especially if we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, wouldn't we want to know Him more? Wouldn't we want to get to grow closer to Him? I mean, let's say that you have a best friend. If you made a best friend, and then you just suddenly just, you don't talk to them at all. It doesn't make sense. If they're your best friend, wouldn't you want to spend time with them? Wouldn't you want to talk with them? Wouldn't you want to know them more? So it's the same thing with God. We have a relationship with God, and Jesus expects us to pray or communicate with Him to build that relationship. So that is first that important point that we made. Now last week, when Mr. Woodrow preached, we had addressed the question of why I should pray. And Mr. Woodrow mentioned four things. First, we have an obligation to pray, an obligation in a sense to acknowledge and honor God because of who He is. And number two, we should also pray because we mentioned that we have the privilege to. Because when Jesus died on the cross, we can be able to have that direct access towards the Father. We don't need to cleanse ourselves, be ceremonial, clean first before praying to God. We have direct access, and it's a privilege. Number three of why we pray, because there are blessings that come with prayer. And finally, number four, we can be able to pray because we need to trust that God will provide for our needs. So that was last week's message. That was on why I should pray. But like I said, this passage in view, we're focusing on how should I pray. And that's the sort of the context as we're approaching this passage here. Now, before I get into that, I want to introduce this sort of a concept here. From Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, you don't necessarily have to turn there now, but Paul talks about this concept called putting off and putting on. So because we have a new life in Christ, we are to put off our old sinful habits, our old sinful desires that were from our old self. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and then put on something else. Put on new habits and new desires that reflect the new life that we have in Christ. So very simply, put off old habits, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then put on those new habits that pleases God. So I introduce that concept because right here in this passage, I see Jesus using that same putting off, putting on concept. So we'll see there. So to address how should I pray, I believe there are two things or negative commands that Jesus talks about that answers this question. Let's start reading from verse 5 again. Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." So first thing that Jesus tells us to do, we are not to pray like a hypocrite. Now, what is a hypocrite? You know, like those people who, you know, say one thing, but then in their action, they do something else. So that's a hypocrite. Now, what is Jesus talking about when there are people who pray like hypocrites? I think in this context, he was targeting specifically the Pharisees. You know, and he says that there are these people who like to go out to street corners and pray out loud so that everyone can see them. And then other people would say, "Wow, that guy is so holy. Look at him praying to God." So prayer, you know, we're supposed to be communicating God. We're supposed to be focusing on God. But when there are people who are praying out loud like this, and so that everyone can see them pray, the focus is on themselves, on their own pride. Now, this passage, like, Jesus is not condemning public prayer. I don't think that's the case. But the focus is on their pride. So, number two, I'm going to give you the fill-in for that blank. Do not be focused upon your pride in prayer. Do not be focused upon your pride in prayer. Now, notice I only gave you half of that, so we'll get to the other half later. But so I think, like, for some of us, we may like to pray out loud. Like, we like people to ask us to pray, because when we pray, we feel important, right? Oh, would so-and-so come up and say the blessing for us for this fellow? And we may get a lot of pride out of that. We may feel good about ourselves. And I think sometimes, like for us, we can get into this danger too. Although it's not wrong to do it. We tell people, after they had shared something deep with you, you're like, "Yes, I will pray for you. Don't worry." Or after, like, many years, "Hey, remember that prayer request you had like a couple of months ago? Just want to let you know that I've been praying for you." Now, it's not wrong to tell people that you've been praying for them, but if you're saying these things in a way so that they're like, "Wow, you actually remembered my prayer request? You actually, like, you must be such a holy person." If that's the idea that you're getting into when you're telling people, "I'll pray for you," or that you like to pray out loud, then that's not the right way to go. What Jesus is saying here, that we should not be focused upon our pride when we're praying. Now, I think many of you would say, yeah, I don't think this applies to me. You know, I don't feel prideful. I don't find myself praying out loud to people. In fact, maybe I don't even like to pray out loud. And I think most of us, and especially in the Asian culture, we tend to be more reserved. And we don't like to speak out loud. We don't like to pray out loud. But I think this still also applies for us, even though we may not be praying out loud. Let's say that someone asks you if you can pray for the small group before to close, and you don't want to. Or you're in a prayer meeting and everyone else is praying, but during the whole time you just stay silent. Or maybe during a persecution Sunday sharing, and when we're praying for the persecuted church, you don't think that you could be able to stand up and be able to pray out loud for the persecuted church. Now, what are the reasons why? I think sometimes we don't want to do that because we say, no, I don't know what to say. Or I'm afraid that I'm going to say something wrong. Or maybe I'm just scared. Or my voice isn't that loud. It's very soft. No one else is going to really hear me. If that is your reasoning, if that's your attitude for not praying out loud, you are just like the hypocrites that Jesus is talking about here. Now, in what sense? Because when you say those things, you are concerned about yourself. You're concerned about your pride, or in a sense, protecting your own pride. Because you don't, very bluntly, you're just saying, I don't want to sound stupid when I pray out loud. The main idea, at least in this part, that Jesus is saying, that we should not be focused upon our pride in that prayer. Okay, so maybe it does apply to me. Then what should we do in that case? So this is the put off. This is the attitude that we shouldn't have. We should put that aside. What should we put on? What should we replace that habit with? Let's read on in verse 6. Jesus says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So addressing first those people who love to stand up and pray out loud to all those people. If their focus is on their own pride, on themselves, and Jesus says that they have received their reward in full. Their reward already is the praise of men, the praise of others. So if you're in that situation, the put on for them is that they should practice praying in secret, alone, in a room by themselves, so that they could, and what's the purpose? Focus on God rather than focus on themselves. So let me give you the rest of point two. So first, do not be focused upon your pride in prayer, but be focused on the Father. But be focused on the Father. Now, this is also what you don't want to do, and be like, hey, everyone, right now I'm going to go in that room and I'm going to pray by myself to God, right? Now, if you say that, you're drawing more attention to yourself. But rather, if you do that without telling anyone, it says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, before we talked about how those people who pray out loud and have received their reward, their reward is the praise of men. These are earthly rewards. Now, in context of this whole passage, or this whole section here, when we're talking about giving to the needy, when we're talking about fasting, Jesus also talks about this matter of rewards, whether it's praise from men or whether it is this heavenly reward that's going to be from the Father. And that's why when we get to verses 19 and verses 20, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So we should be focusing on the heavenly rewards. Now, addressing for or making the application for those of us who we may not like to pray out loud because we're focusing on our pride. I think like the idea here that Jesus tells us is we should be focusing on the Father and not ourselves when we're praying. We can still do that. So maybe the application for you is you need to start to pray out loud to other people during like maybe a small group or during with your group of friends. But you're doing so in a way where you're disregarding your own pride or those concerns that you had before, and you're praying in a way where you're focusing on God instead. So that is the put on. So do not be focused upon your pride in prayer, but be focused on the Father. Now let us move on. Jesus also teaches us another thing about how we should pray. Let's start reading again from verse 7. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So in addition to telling us not to pray like hypocrites, Jesus tells us not to pray like the Gentiles, or I think your translation may say pagans or heathens. And what do? They like to heap up empty phrases. They like to babble on and on and on. Now, first, I'll tell you what I think Jesus isn't condemning here. I don't think he's condemning long prayers. You know, sometimes when you're just babbling on, it can be a very long time. I don't think that's the case, because we know that Jesus prayed, you know, he would spend the whole night praying. So we know that can't be the case. I know that Jesus is not condemning being persistent in your prayer. And actually, later on, we're going to have a full message concerning about persistency in prayer. And I also don't think that Jesus is condemning, you know, just pouring out your emotions and pouring out your spirit to God. Because, like, I think sometimes we've been in that case before. We're in a situation and we're just praying to God and just, like, pouring out our heart to him. And after, like, maybe, like, a couple of hours, we realize, no, I'm just, like, babbling here. I don't think that's the case, because we know that Jesus also poured out his heart to God. So then what is Jesus condemning here? Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Okay? But what's the reason? For they think that they will be heard for their many words. So in this time, the pagans and usually the Gentiles, when they pray, they like to keep on repeating like words, repeating phrases, thinking that the more they say these things, eventually God will listen to them and God will give them what they are asking for. That God will do that. And I think sometimes we end up doing like that too. Like we've experienced praying to God and asking God for something, and we prayed for so long, and then God doesn't give it to us. And we're like, God, why? I prayed for healing for this person. I prayed for this person to change. I prayed for this and that. And I prayed for so long. How come you didn't give that to me? Point number 3. Do not expect that God would abide to your will in prayer. Do not expect that God will abide to your will in prayer. Meaning, do not feel or think that God is always obligated to give you whatever you ask for in your prayer. Although, yes, a lot of times God loves us and He will give us what we want and what we desire. But He's not obligated to. That's the key. So we shouldn't be praying in a way where we feel that God should listen to us, that God should abide by our prayer, that God is obligated to listen or give us what we want. So that is the put off. That is something that we shouldn't be doing. What is the put on? What should we do instead? Let's read verse 8 again. Jesus says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So the idea is that we are to abide to His will. We are to pray in a way where God already, or with the attitude that God already knows what we need. And we know, and we trust that God will give us, or will be able to provide for us for all that we need. So the rest of point three. So first, do not expect that God will abide to your will in prayer, but abide to His will. But abide to His will. We are to pray in a way where we know that God will provide for us for everything that we need. He's not obligated to give us everything that we're asking for, but He is, in a sense, obligated to take care of us, obligated to give us what we need because He loves us. So let us review everything that we have learned from this passage here. First, we established, like just from the first couple words in this passage, that Jesus expects us to pray. And I want us to just take some time to think upon and reflect upon our own prayer life. You know, are we actually praying with God? Are we actually building that relationship with Him? Or are we just maybe not even communicating with Him at all? If we have a relationship with God, Jesus expects us to pray, to communicate with Him. Then Jesus teaches us about how we should pray, and He gives us two negative commands. And from the first part, He tells us not to be focused upon ourselves, on our own pride, but to be focused on Him, but be focused upon the Father. So whether we like to pray out loud in front of other people, or whether we don't like to pray out loud, we can fall into the trap of focusing on our own pride and on ourselves. So we need to change that. We need to focus on the Father. And then next, as we had just talked about, Jesus tells us that we shouldn't be praying in a way where we're expecting or feeling that God is obligated to give us all that we want, but rather we pray in a way where it's abiding to His will. We pray in a way where we know that God will give us what we need. And then when we get to verse 9, Jesus says, "Pray then like this." And then this gets into the Lord's Prayer. So this is what we'll be focusing on for next week's message. The Lord's Prayer, this is a model that Jesus gives us for how we should pray. So we'll pick up next week with that passage there. Why don't let's take what we learned today and let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before You humbled by what You have to say to us today. We know that we are so in need of You. We are sinners. And we know that we can't do anything to be able to earn our own righteousness, to earn our own salvation. Father, I pray that if your, the Holy Spirit convicted us today, that you would help transform us. Help us learn to put off those wrong things and to put on what is expected and what is pleasing to you, Lord. Maybe we don't like to pray out loud, or maybe we do like to pray out loud and we're just focusing on our pride. Father, humble us and take that away. Help us be focused on you when we pray. And Lord, help us not to have expectations on you when we're praying too, Lord. Lord, we come before you and no, even I myself, I need to confess. I need to ask for forgiveness because I have experienced these things. But Lord, you are a God who loves us. You are a God who is full of grace. And we can be able to restore that relationship with you, Lord, because you have died on the cross for our sins. You have taken away all those things that separates us from you, Lord. Father, may we be just thinking these next couple of weeks as we continue to look into your word and learn about what you have to teach us about prayer, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts, that you would change us, and may we renew and continue to build our relationship with you as we pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, and we lift these things in your Son's great and holy name. Amen.